1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, please. Brian Swaffer would like to meet with all the teen guys after the service on the platform. So guys, if you can remember that, appreciate it. Last week we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, rejoice evermore. This week we're going to look at verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We skipped verse 17 because we did a lengthy series on prayer and dealt with this verse as well as a variety of others, January, February, and into March. And so we're not going to preach particularly on verse 17, though we've done so in the past. Verse 18 is a convicting verse, isn't it? Just to read it. In fact, verse 18 causes us to do a variety of things. First off, when we look at the word everything, we begin to start doing mental gymnastics like that's not really everything. I mean, you know, I don't think it's everything. I mean, surely it doesn't mean everything. It means everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This morning, I'd like for us to look at a message I've entitled, Thankfulness Express. And that's almost saying it in a double way, because we're going to learn this morning that the very nature of thankfulness is that it is expressed. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to guide us this morning. I want us to see you must express your thankfulness to be right with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for the challenge it is to us. Lord, for the challenge it's been to me this week. And I pray that our hearts will be in tune with it and that we will be different people as we leave this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. An associate professor at Harvard Business School has been building a database of research on the subject of gratitude or thankfulness. I did one particular study in which 41 fundraisers at a university, all receiving a fixed salary, the director visited half of those fundraisers in person, telling them, "I'm very grateful for your hard work. We sincerely appreciate your contributions to the university." Now remember, they're all getting the same salary, no matter what kind of money they raise for the university. The second group received no such expression of gratitude. What was the impact of the director's thanks? Gino said that the expression of gratitude increased the number of calls by more than 50% for the week, while fundraisers who received no thanks made about the same number of calls as the previous week. The power of saying thank you. By missing chances, she says, to express gratitude, organizations and leaders use relatively cost-free opportunities to motivate. Now, these are secular people. In another study by the University of Miami and the University of California, Davis, says that although gratitude is often the forgotten factor in happiness research, this is interesting, they're engaged in a long-term research project, these two universities, to project how to help rediscover its importance. People who count their blessings, not just on the fourth Thursday of November, but in daily gratitude journals, exercise more regularly, complain of fewer illness symptoms, and feel better about their lives overall. Compared to those who dwell on daily hassles, people who take time instead to record their reasons for giving thanks also feel more loving, forgiving, joyful, enthusiastic, and opportunistic about the futures. Interesting. While their family and friends report that they seem happier and are more pleasant to be around. Gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. Again, this is secular research. Then the professor assigned some students to write down five things that they were thankful for each day, and others to record five complaints. 3 weeks later, the grateful students reported measurable improvements in psychological, physical, and social well-being compared with their complaining classmates. Since then, they've conducted various other experiments and dozens of other study populations, including organ transplant recipients, adults with chronic diseases, and healthy fifth graders, all trying to figure out how this plays a role. We always find the same thing. People who keep gratitude journals improve their quality of life. Far from being a warm, fuzzy sentiment, gratitude is morally and intellectually demanding, said he. It requires contemplation, reflection, and discipline. It can be hard and painful work. This is all secular people talking about the importance of gratitude. Helen Keller said, "So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have." Joni Erickson Tada, who is a quadriplegic, said, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience." H.W. Weissmeyer says, "The pilgrims made seven times more graves than huts. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving." Now, the truth is, we could stop there and be pretty convicted about the need for being thankful, couldn't we? And we're talking about secular people saying it is the only thing that can measurably improve your life. We can statistically prove it. This is the world talking. And yet we know scripturally that God says, in everything, give thanks. And it's in a series of things that we've already talked about. It's a command. God's telling us to do this. We are to give thanks. So let's look at a number of things this morning from the Word of God that will help us, I believe, as we think about this subject. Number one, the command. The command. The word everything means individually and each and every one, all or the whole, or everyone or all things, collectively, some of all types. Just in case you missed it, God is saying, in everything. There's nothing can be left out. You're like, "Oh, I can think of some things that I wouldn't be thankful for." Well, then you're thinking of things that you'd be disobedient to, because we're supposed to give thanks for everything. The word thanks means to be grateful or to feel thankful, to give thanks. And again, it is a present, active command. God's saying, "I want you to do this." Let me read a statement from you, a couple of statements that I think will help you grab the essence of what's being said here. John Phillips, in his commentary on exploring 1 and 2 Thessalonians, says this: "The preposition here is in, E-N, and it denotes being or remaining within, with the primary idea of rest or continuance. It has regard to place and space." So, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So, in other words, we are to remain with it. It's not that we're wanting to get out of it and then give thanks. In it, in everything, give thanks. Vines says, "In every matter or in every condition, it is His will that we be thankful." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Thankful. Another author said, "Paul never instructed the church to thank God for evil events per se, but to thank God that even in evil times and circumstances, our hope remains and God continues His work in our lives." In other words, it's not the idea that we say, "I got my arm chopped off. Well, thank you, Lord, for chopping off my arm. But thank you, Lord, that you orchestrated this to teach me that which you're going to do, and you're not going to waste this time. I can be thankful for the circumstances that you've brought me through. You might be asking, well, Pastor, what's the difference in what you preached last week, rejoice evermore, and this week, in everything, give thanks? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I asked the same question this week. Well, you say you didn't ask it. Yes, you did. You just didn't know it, all right? You awake out there this morning? Some of you look like you were at the men and boys camp out and didn't get any sleep. What's the difference in the two? This is really important for you to understand. Joyfulness is primarily an internal attitude that can be expressed in the facial expression, okay? And it can be expressed by someone saying that I'm joyful, but just because they say it doesn't mean it's really true, right? But joyfulness is primarily an internal attitude that comes by knowing God and walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Thankfulness is a communication of that which we're trying to tell people. So, whereas joy can, I can be joyful to myself, if you will. In other words, it can be an internal thing. I cannot be thankful to myself. It must be expressed. And we're going to prove that from the Word of God here this morning. It's interesting, for instance, when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So in the context, he's specifically talking about our mouth. And he says, rather than doing these negative things with our mouth, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, give thanks. Again, it's a vocal expression of what God is going to do in our lives. So the command, God has commanded us to give thanks. Number two, let's look at the circumstances. In what circumstances are we to give thanks? And we're not saying necessarily in, we're going to list all the things, but how to do it, if you will. How are we to give thanks? Well, God gives us a variety of ways to do that. One of the primary ways when you study the word thanks in the Word of God is in prayer. In prayer, let me just read for you. Matthew 15 and verse 36, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks. In Matthew 26 and verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Matthew 26, 27, he took the cup and gave thanks. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and gave thanks. In Luke 22 and verse 17, and he took the cup and gave thanks. In Luke 22 and verse 19, he took the bread and gave thanks. Do you see how it is an outward expression? It's not just something that's internalized, but it's something that's outwardly being portrayed. In John chapter 6 and verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. In John 11, 41, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it to the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. In Ephesians 1 and verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, Paul says to the Ephesians church. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So as we think about that, we can see it communicated throughout Scripture that thanksgiving is in our prayer life. It ought to be a part of our daily prayer life. We're to be thanking God for the food. We're to be thanking God for others. We're to thanking God that are in authority. And on it goes. It should be communicated in our prayer life. So how much of your prayer life is thankfulness? How much of it really communicates a thankful heart to God? Not just that which is internal. Well, I'm thankful, I just don't tell people. No, it can't be that way. But number two, for things that God does for you. You say, well, Pastor, we could have combined those two. We could have, yes, because we're going to do that in prayer, and I understand that. But Luke 17 and verse 16 says, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. Jesus had healed him. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Epaphorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. When is the last time that you thanked God for specific blessings in your life? You vocalized it to Him that you're thankful for what God has done in your life. The third way I think we see in Scripture is in letters. And Paul used that quite frequently. We know that these letters that Paul wrote to churches are inspired, the inspired Word of God. Those writers, nevertheless, still communicated some things. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. Paul was a Southerner. You all, see that? I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, Paul is giving thanks in prayer, but he's writing to these people. He's communicating them through written form that he's thankful for them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Philemon verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So Paul pinned down for people to know that he was thankful for them and that he had told God so, and now he's telling them, I'm thankful for you in a variety of circumstances. So do you send thank you notes for things people do for you or impacts that they have made in your life? When's the last time you walked up to someone, either verbally or in written form, thanked them for something that they've done for you? I tell you, those things are great encouragement. I started this morning to bring a file folder that I have that's loaded with those kind of notes that have been an encouragement to me over the years. We are to be thankful and we are to communicate that. And many times it's important to do so in a written form, as the Apostle Paul did. And that leads us to number four, letter D, to others. It should be not only to God, but it ought to be communicated to others. And Paul did that. As he thanked God, he also told them through written form that he was thanking God for them. In Romans 16 and verse 4, he says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. He's talking about another group of people, unto whom not only I give thanks, Paul said, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. As these people sacrificed for the cause of the gospel, Paul said, I thank them, and so do all the churches of the Gentiles thank them, and that ought to be communicated to them. It leads us to wonder, do you thank people for the regular things that they do in your life? Do you thank people for those things that they're quote-unquote supposed to do? We can get to a point where we're no longer thankful for that which we believe to be our quote-unquote rights. I'm grateful that my wife keeps a clean house. It would be nice to tell her that every once in a while. I'm thankful that she cooks my food. But you ought to tell her that every once in a while. Not my wife, your wife. You have clean clothes? I do. Are to be thankful for that. Do you have an extra blanket in your bag that you didn't know you needed Friday night? I did, and I was very thankful about 2 o'clock in the morning Saturday morning, whenever it was. You say, well, she's supposed to cook your meals. She's supposed to clean the house. Thankfulness. Well, so-and-so does that, but they're paid to do that. Okay, we can still say thank you. That police officer arrives at your house to check out something, or maybe a firefighter or whatever. Well, they're getting paid to do that. Well, it won't hurt you to say thank you. And can I tell you, if you've looked at what the public servants make, they sure aren't doing it for the money. And it just goes a long ways for us to say thank you. But as a general rule in America, we're not that way. We're not thankful. I've held doors open for people and they never even said hi. Well, if they didn't have to hold the door for me. It was their own business. They wanted to hold it or not. You know, we just have an ungrateful attitude, don't we? That leads us to number three. And that is the caution. The caution. So, well, what's the caution when it comes to thankfulness? Listen to this statement. Unthankfulness is a sign of a spiritual problem. Unthankfulness is a sign of a spiritual problem. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, number one, because God tells us to be thankful in everything. We can go right there. So if I'm unthankful, I'm disobeying 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore, I've got a spiritual problem. But if that wasn't strong enough, can I read you a verse? Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You're familiar with Romans chapter 1, and that's the description of someone who utterly rejects God and ultimately ends in reprobation. We would not put unthankfulness in the midst of that list, but God Almighty did. Unthankful. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I shared some of these truths with the care team last weekend when we were on our retreat. I've been reading the book of Colossians in my personal devotions. Oh, it is so rich. Matter of fact, there's a very good possibility that you'll be hearing a lot from the book of Colossians before it's all said and done. Wow, there is so many truths in here. Paul is addressing the church at Colossians, and in verse 6 of chapter 2 specifically, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus? Through faith. That's how we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. It is a work of God's grace in our life, and through faith we're able to. So Paul says, the same way you do that, you're to walk that way. And then he says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. So get a firm foundation in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with, what's the next word? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Colossae that when you're solid spiritually, when you're growing in the things of the Lord, it's going to automatically produce in your life thanksgiving. You're going to abound with thanksgiving. In other words, it is a sign of spiritual maturity that you have a thankful heart. So the caution, unthankfulness is a sign of a spiritual problem. So this morning, perhaps you're sitting here thinking, I don't think I have a spiritual problem, but I'm a pretty unthankful person. Then apply the Word of God. And ask yourself, when's the last time you actually physically said thank you to someone? Because in every case so far that we've seen this, it has been vocalized either to God, or it's been written down, or it's been said. Thanksgiving is not something that we just internalize. It is something that must be expressed in order to be obeyed. Where are you at there? Number four, we see the conclusion. Now turn back to the book of 1 Thessalonians, because this is interesting. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As I studied this week, there is a little bit of debate about it, but it appears to me that this is the will of God refers back to the rejoice evermore, the pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. When you study those three, it's impossible to untangle them. In other words, a person that's genuinely filled with the joy of the Lord is going to express that in thanks. And what's one of the primary ways he's going to do that? In his prayer life. You see how those three verses then become very intertwined together. By the way, next Sunday we'll look at quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Those four commands are also very much tied together. One author said it this way: keep on rejoicing, go on praying, and be thankful for everything. And all three of these are God's will for our lives. God's will for our lives. Now people say, what's God's will for my life? Well, I can tell you one of them. Be thankful. Be thankful. How many of you can consciously think of someone who thanked you for something this week? Right, raise your hand. I can consciously think of someone who thanked me for something this week. Good. All right. It's not just about how it made you, quote unquote, feel, but didn't encourage you? Sure. Absolutely. It always does to be able to communicate that. You say, so Pastor, what's our application? Well, I'm going to challenge you today to find five people that you can either write a note to, or you can personally tell thank you for something that they've done in their lives. Today. God tells us to do it. And if we're not, then we've got a problem, right? Now, what I'm not talking about is your whole family sitting around the table and you go, I just want to thank everybody for everything you've done for me. Right? That's not what I'm talking about, all right? I want to get specific about some things, all right? So, I'm not going to have you talk to me this morning, but for instance, men, Barry and Denise Northcutt did a tremendous job this weekend at their home. I thanked them for that yesterday, and I think I said something to him today already. I'm thankful they opened up their home to us and allowed that beautiful piece of property and all the work that went into that, and that's something that we could be thankful for. They didn't have to do that. I'm grateful that they were able to do that. That's an example of being thankful. You're going to eat somewhere today, I assume. You're like, well, we're going out to eat. Well, somebody had to earn that money. How'd you get to church today? Who paid for the car? Where'd the gas come from? Who drove? There's a whole lot that we miss. Did you breathe today? You don't do that without God. He's the one who gives the breath of life. Friday evening, as the sun set at Brother Northcutt's and the moon was coming up, full moon, you could see three planets in the little check mark, just as clear as a bell. The sun was still settling there. You could still see an orange line, moon red. You know what? I'm thankful that God lets us enjoy those kind of things. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I get to smell some things sometimes. Like bacon cooking on an open fire. Oh, that's good. Listen, you ready for this? It even woke up Jason and Kevin out of sleep. I'm just saying. That's pretty powerful bacon smell, all right? Have you thanked the Lord that you were able to be born in America or that it's now your country? I know some of you weren't born here. What a blessing that is. And we could go on and on and on and on. There's people all around this place that make it happen every week. Things that go on. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. It's a command. God has told us to do it. And if you listen to secular research, you're going to be happier, get better grades and everything else. I would want to challenge you to do that today. Five people that you can either write or you could personally tell thank you for something specific that they did in your lives. I hope one of those will be your Heavenly Father for giving us the truth of God's Word that we could look at this morning that can change our lives.